Everyone wants to eat, just a few want to hunt.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. And today's episode is also brought to you by Vivid Seats. Use the promo code Locked On for $20 off any order over $200 or more. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_Beeble. We are less than a week away from the preseason kicking off. Fantasy drafts are in full swing and about to ramp up even harder. We're going to be talking about the strategy of punting in head-to-head leagues specifically in today's show. A little bit of a touch on punting for other areas as well. Michael Bolton's ready.
Let's get to it.
But of course, before we get into that, just want to mention one quick thing. For those of you who are in the Red Rock Challenge Leagues, of course, if you win those leagues, you get a spot in the Champions League next year, whether that's a points league, a head-to-head league, or a roto league. But for this season, thanks to the fine people at Fantasy Jocks, go to fantasyjocks.com or follow them on Twitter at Fantasy Jocks, the winner of the Red Rock Challenge head-to-head league. I don't have one for the Roto League. That'll be something I'm looking into as well. But the winner of the Red Rock Challenge head-to-head league is going to win this. And if you are watching this on YouTube, you can see what I'm about to show. You're going to win a fantastic championship belt. I'm going to hold it up for the guys on YouTube now. You can see that there. The Red Rock Challenge Champions League 2018-19 belt. So you will win this belt if you win the head-to-head league of the Champions League for the Red Rock Challenge. So fantastic work by the people at Fantasy Jocks. This thing is the unbelievable quality. I couldn't believe it. It's so heavy with its metal plates, its leather belt. It is a fantastic quality product, and they sent that to me. So the winner of the Red Rock Challenge League, I'll just put this over to the side, will win that fantastic championship belt. So in the head-to-head league, that draft is going on at the moment. I think it might have just actually wrapped up, maybe I'll do a bit of a recap on that. At some point next week, the winner will win that fantastic championship belt from the guys over at Fantasy Jocks. Now, today, what we're going to be looking at is we're talking about punting. And more specifically, we're talking about punting for head-to-head leagues. But there is some validity in talking about it in roto leagues as well. Now, if you play in a points league, ignore everything I'm going to say. There is absolutely, in fact, download the podcast. You've done that. That's fine. You don't need to listen anymore unless you're interested in becoming involved in the categories league, whether that's head-to-head or roto. There is no such thing as punting in points leagues. You cannot punt. You will not punt. It doesn't make any sense. So in a points league, there is no such thing as punting. Move along. Download the episode. That's great. Download it on your friend's phone, your family's phone, all that. But no need for you to listen into the strategy of this, except if you are looking to expand your fantasy game, which you should be. So I'll take that all back. Listen, take advantage of this and be ready to join a category. Go join a free league on ESPN or go on Yahoo and try out some punting strategies. Now, as I said, I believe personally in head-to-head leagues. In order for you to be successful, you need to be punting one category minimum, maybe two, maybe three, maybe four, depending on your league. And in general, in the past, I've said in a roto league, in a standard roto league, you probably don't want to punt a category. I'm going to cover that in a sec, but first, let's get to the basics. What is punting? It's a really good question, and I will answer that in a sec, but I do have to give you some information about today's sponsors, one of those great sponsors who helps this show go to air 5 days a week, and that is our new sponsor, Vivid Seats. You love a night out, whether that's a sporting event, a concert, a show, a comedy gig, whatever it is. Everyone loves going to see your favorite band or team in person, and with Vivid Seats, you can attend that show, that event, at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events that you want to go to, and you can sort by price or look for the seats in whatever specific section or row that you want to look at. And to make things even better, listeners to this podcast, Vivid Seats, they're giving you $20 off any order of $200 or more by using my exclusive promo code. And that promo code, of course, is Locked On. So go to the App Store, Go to Google Play, download the Vivid Seats app, and use that promo code LOCKEDON, one word, $20 off any order of $200 or more for any new customer. The best, well, not the best thing, because the best thing is you get good seats. The second best thing is you get a discount. The third best thing is that every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. You can go to the biggest concerts, the biggest sporting events. Vivid Seats will have it all for you. Just download that app. Use that promo code locked on. It tells the people at Vivid that you are listening to this podcast and you're using their fantastic product based on my recommendation here. $20 off any order of $200 or more. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. All right, so let's talk about what punting actually is and how it works in leagues. Now, the most important thing that you need to understand is we're talking category leagues. So you've got 8 categories, 9 categories, 12 categories, whatever it is. And punting is the act of ignoring a category. Now, there is subtle differences in terms of how people may view punting. Punting is not, and I cannot stress this enough, punting is not making yourself bad in a category. So if you are punting free throw percentage, you are not deliberately going, I need to find everyone who's a bad free throw guy. Dwight, Capella, DeAndre Jordan, Lonzo Ball. I need all of those guys on Ben Simmons. I need all of you on my team because I need to make my free throw percentage as bad as possible. That actually benefits you in no particular way. Now, as a side effect of it, it can make you better in other areas, but that's what you want to do for punting. You don't want to focus on getting bad free throw percentage guys. I need to get all the bad free throw percentage guys because I'm punting free throws. No, that's not what you're doing at all. I want to get high rebound guys. I want to get high block guys. And if they happen to be poor free throw percentage shooters, well, you know what? You don't give two shits about that. And that's what punting is. It's ignoring a category, not trying to make that category worse. So you're always, and try and be positive, have a positive attitude. And that's the way you should be living your life anyway. Sorry to give unsolicited life advice, but what you want to do is you want to go in and you want to make your other categories better. And the way that you do that is you've got 9 categories in a league, say a standard league there. So instead of trying to make all 9 of them sort of good, what you want to do is you want to make 7 of them, 8 of them, very good. And that other one, well, that can do whatever it wants. It can be average. It can be above average. It can be below average. It can be 100% shithouse. It just depends. And you just don't care. You do not care what happens to those categories that you're punting. And that is the difference. You are not looking to make it bad. You are looking to not care about it. So in essence, when you're drafting, you go, okay, I'm in a 9 category league. Nah, I'm actually in a 7 category league. And that's the way you need to be thinking, is it doesn't matter what happens to that category. If you end up having a week where you have 80% free throws, oh, well, that's a bonus. Fantastic. Man, that's an extra category I didn't expect to win. But you just don't care about it. Oh, wow, I won turnovers this week because I had injuries and I missed 3 games. Still was insulated enough in those other categories to win the counting stats, but I actually ended up winning turnovers due to my low games. Fantastic. But I don't care about it when I'm drafting, and that's what punting is. And it is important to be able to understand what that difference is. Now, you can absolutely win leagues by not punting, especially in drafts, but in the end, even people who don't punt, and Matt Smith's one of those ones who's anti-punting, he doesn't care about turnovers when he drafts. And that's exactly to me. And I guess it comes down to a differentiation between me and Matt and what we define punting as. But if you're not caring or not considering turnovers when you're drafting, you're punting turnovers. It's as simple as that. When you get into the playoffs, you need to win 5 categories to win a playoff round. So invariably, you'll be looking at, well, I'm punting my 2 worst categories here. Let's focus on 6 or 7 to try and win that week. That is punting. Some people may call it tanking. It is not tanking in the NBA sense of the word tanking, where teams that are tanking, the Phoenix Suns, the Memphis Grizzlies, they are deliberately trying to lose. You are not deliberately trying to lose a category. You are just not caring which way the result goes and focusing your energies in other areas to maximize your strengths in those areas. Now, you can win leagues, but it is really, really tough to win if you are trying to spread your resources thin. So just imagine you have got these 13 players, so you have to spread their contributions across 9 equal categories and try and be, you know, okay in all of those. What's easier to do, to be okay in 9 categories or to be okay in 7 categories? It's much easier to concentrate your resources down to a smaller amount of categories. And then you can really focus on getting those numbers up. That's what punting is. It's narrowing your focus, pooling your resources onto a smaller amount of categories that you're really focusing on. That's what punting is all about. Now, I say in head-to-head leagues, it is more important because, again, you're looking at, you know, getting a win. And if it's a most categories each week, if you win five, you get one win, your opponent gets a loss. If it's in each categories, you might get six wins per week. And winning six categories, and in general, the teams that get in the playoffs, they have about a 55 to 56% win record for the year, which is winning five categories out of nine every week. So if you aim to win six categories every week, that's a 66% win percentage, you will make it into the playoffs. So, you know, you're not going to have all these teams winning 70% of their categories every week. It just doesn't happen that way. So if you can really focus down what you're doing and aim to win 57, 60% of your categories, you will get in the playoffs. And if you're strong enough in those areas, then you can go in that playoff round and win your six categories. And it doesn't matter what happens in those other three, you've won that overall matchup. So that's the idea with punting. But there are things that you do need to be careful with when you're looking at building teams for punting and doing that. Now, a couple of other things before we get into some more of the nitty-gritties of how we're going through and punting categories. The more teams you have, the more categories you have, the more important it becomes to punt. So you're in a five-category league, it gets pretty hard to punt in that situation. You're in a 15-category league, which some people are in. It seems like overkill, but they had field goals made, free throws made, three-point percentage, assist-to-turnover ratio, offensive rebounds. They add all these other things, three-point percentage, true shooting percentage. They add all these things in. You've got 15 categories, double-doubles, triple-doubles. People go sick on some of these things. You cannot be good in 15 categories. I assure you, you cannot do it. So in that situation, you have to go and you look at punting. Do I punt four categories? Do I punt five categories? And that's a legitimate way of being able to do it. Because you're in a 15-cat league, you punt five categories. That's 10 that you're looking at. That's still 67% of the categories, and that's still a ton. And you're not going to win 67% of your matchups each week. So you could even go harder and go six and really try and focus your numbers down on categories that make sense. I've said it for years that punting in Roto is pretty hard to win, and it is still hard to win, but with the way things are happening at the moment with players like Andre Drummond, DeAndre Jordan improving their free throw percentage pretty significantly, with the hopes that I have of Ben Simmons improving his free throw percentage more this season, it is becoming more of a viable strategy. Plus, there is a proliferation of more bad free throw shooters as well around the league. So punting in Roto can become a more viable scenario. But more to the point, the guys like Howard and Jordan and Capella and these guys, in the past, they'd be people that I'd say, I don't want anything to do with them in a Roto league, because in a Roto league, you don't need to win categories, but what you do need to be is finish, you know, with 9 points or 10 points in every category to win. In a 12-team league with eight categories, in a Roto scenario, you probably need 70, 74 points to win, which is about a 9 in every category, which means you've got to be the third or fourth best team in each category. Now, if you get a 1 in a category, that means you need to have about four categories where you're 11 or 12 points, so first or second, which does make it a little bit harder. But in the Red Rock Champions League Roto League, Roto Draft, myself and Matt Smith, we drafted DeAndre Jordan and Dwight Howard. Now, they're situations that we would never, ever do before, but the buy-off there or the trade-off there is getting the field goal percentage boost, which may have taken us from 6 field goal percentage points up to 9 field goal percentage points. The blocks may have gone from 5 to 8. The rebounds might have gone from 3 to 7. You're gaining, say, 10 or 11 points across three categories. Actually offsets the fact that you might lose 3 points in free throw percentage. Now, in my case in that league, I had a free throw percentage of the 8 guys I already had on my team equaled up to over 86%. So adding DeAndre Jordan, while it took me from getting 12 points in that free throw percentage category or 11 points, I went down to like 83% from the line and I became like an 8-point guy in free throw percentage, but I gained 4, 5, 6, 7 points across three other categories. And that trade-off was enough for me. So I think that punting in Roto is becoming a little bit more doable. Now getting Howard, Capella, Lonzo, Simmons on one team and getting yourself a 1 in that category is pretty bloody tough to recover from. But because there are so many of these free throw guys, someone drafts Drummond, someone gets Capella, the next guy gets Howard, the next guy gets Jordan, the next guy gets Simmons, the next guy gets Adams, that's 6 shit free throw guys. And if you've got enough good free throw guys around you with, say, a Ben Simmons or a Lonzo Ball, you could take yourself, instead of being 1 there, you could be a 6 in free throw percentage. and it's helped your other categories. So while I say, you know, punting in roto leagues probably isn't the best idea, if you can get a bad guy in one of those categories, but instead of getting 1 point, you can get 5 or 6 points, it is really, really a strategy you can consider and can have some success with. So that's what punting is. Now, what do you do in terms of multi-categorical punting? Now, ideally, you can do that in many different ways, and I'm going to get to that in 1 second. But first of all, I need to remind you guys that Locked On NBA, it never went away. We've been here all off-season, and it is still here for you every day as media days and training camps kick off. Locked On NBA is your national NBA podcast daily. Every Monday, with me hosting it, we get the local experts on for the biggest stories, and then you can stay with Locked On NBA all week long with daily 30 minutes on everything going on in the NBA. Follow for free Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play the podcast Locked On NBA. All right, so the combinations of categories that you can look at. Now, you could make, you know, arguments that you want to combine anything, and it does, and it can happen. You can have success, but ideally, we know that categories are grouped between bigs and smalls, to use things roughly. And there's always outliers, but there's categories that are you know, spread or concentrated in those areas. Now, points is a category that tends to go through all bigs and smalls, so it's not one that you're really looking at there. Three-pointers, in general, we're looking at that as a smalls category. Assists, a smalls category. Steals, a smalls category. Free throw percentage, a smalls category. Field goal percentage, blocks, rebounds, that's a big category. Turnovers, big men usually as well. So we're looking at an even sort of 4-4 split. Now, if you don't want turnovers and you're going to put offensive and defensive rebounds in, then both of those are obviously big man numbers. You want to put double-doubles in, that's a big man number as well. So adding those things in, you want to have sort of a relatively even balance of four categories that are smalls, four categories that are bigs. Now, things are changing quite a bit. Big men are hitting their free throws. They're having their field goal percentage drop. They're hitting threes. Guards, Lonzo, Westbrook, they're getting high rebound numbers. Their steals are coming from big men like Drummond and John Isaac. So it is a little bit mixed up like that. You can get Joshy Richardson as a small blocking one shot per game, Johnny Wall doing the same thing. So you can get value in those other areas. But in general, what you want to do is you want to, when you're punting multiple categories, you want to keep them together. Now, with points, you can add points with anything else. You can punt points with assists and punt points with blocks. Although that's probably not the greatest example. Punt points with field goal percentage. There are different ways that you can do that. But when you're punting threes, you want to be combining with assists or steals and free throw percentage. So any of those four, you can put a combination in. And same with the big man numbers. You can punt blocks and field goal percentage together along with turnovers. I think that's a really strong three category punt, and I often do that one. The other category that does happen quite a bit, and Kyle McEwen is a big proponent of this, and that's punting both field goal percentage and free throw percentage. Now, again, it's not trying to make both of those categories bad, because you won't be able to make both of them bad. It's just disregarding them because the fluctuations and the variability in percentages is quite pronounced. And because we're talking smaller sample sizes on a 1 week matchup basis, that those things that, you know, if you rely on your team being this great free throw shooter, you know, if someone comes out, Jason Tatum comes out and shoots 1 of 11, well, that really puts you in a pretty big hole. If you have a couple of shit nights from some guys, that can put you in a big hole. Whereas the counting stats, they're positive accumulators. You can stream those in. You can build those up. Hey, I'm lacking here. Let's get the Duke Wayne Ellington in. He's got a back-to-back. Let's get 6 triples out of him. And you can help that. But with free throw percentage and field goal percentage, they're categories where you can go backwards in, where you can't go backwards in those positive counting stats. So that's another combination, punting both percentages together, or if you've got three-point percentage or true shooting percentage or adjusted field goal percentage or effective field goal percentage, whatever it is, anything that's a category that can go back and forward, like those percentages can do, or even assist to turnovers, they are worth considering punting in a in a head-to-head weekly type matchup. So, you know, getting these combinations is important. The other thing I do want to touch on, I should have touched on earlier, when talking about roto leagues, the more categories you have and the more teams in your league and the more competitive your league, the more viable punting becomes. Now, the competitive nature of a roto league means, like, in a league where you have 4 or 5 teams that are either shit or start dropping out, then those teams are are going to be down the bottom of all those counting stats, meaning the teams that you are competing with for the top spots are all going to be concentrated up the top. But if you are punting a category and you're that bad, you might actually fall behind some of those teams that aren't even paying as much attention, meaning that gap between you and those other teams who are concentrated in the top five of every category, if you're down to eighth in one of them, that makes it pretty tough to recover. The more competitive it is, the more competition there is on the wire for players in the draft. And in terms of players all over the place, you might have a good team coming in with 4 points in a category just because of the competitive nature. The more teams there are means there's a bigger spread, meaning the top team in a 12-team league gets 12 points for points. In a 20-team league, they get 20 points. So you've got a 20-to-1 variation as opposed to a 12-to-1. So the variation, and when there's more teams in a league, the spread of points for each category is larger. So the punting there does become a little bit more viable. You don't have to finish with 10 points in every category to win one of those leagues. And of course, the more categories, the harder it is to do that. So if you're in a 12 cat roto league, then you're getting a 4 in a category is much more palatable and easier to come across because you've got 11 other categories that you can bump up in. Again, no one is going to be able to have 10 points in all 12 categories. So it almost becomes imperative that you go and do that in one of those deeper roto leagues. So think about this, roto leagues. You don't want to get a 1, but you can punt. But more teams, more categories, more competitive means more punting in a roto league, and just bear that in mind. So any league that goes over the 12 team league with 9 categories or 8 categories, which is what I prefer for a roto, then punting should start to become more of what you're looking at in terms of the value setting up for a roto type format. Let's move on to the next part of this show, and that is, how do I punt? What do I need to do? Now, of course, on Basketball Monster, you can check out our draft tracker and our projections, and you can set your punt categories up, and you can go in there and choose which categories you want to punt. Now, you set up your league with all the categories that your league actually goes for and which categories that are scored, but you can look at which ones you want to pay attention to in terms of the positive value they bring for each player. So in a 9-cat league, I automatically go and turn the turnovers, and there's a toggle on-off punt. So any category that you're punting, you want to switch to that punt. I automatically turn turnovers to punt. And then you can go in and choose whatever ever other category you want and put it as punt as well. Now, you still want to leave them on and in that punt category so you can see how other players are valuing that guy based on their league overall value. But it is important that you can turn that to punt to have a look. Now, when I'm drafting, I'm not necessarily turning that punt on in all situations, and I'm definitely not leaving it on the entire draft because, as you can see, on that first dot point I've got there, you can't forget your adjacent categories. If you're punting blocks, that is a big man, really a big man specific stat, but they are also getting you high field goal percentage in the most part, and they are also getting you rebounds. But if you go into the draft tracker or into the projections and you turn punt blocks on, you'll see all these big men, Rudy Gobert, Clint Capella, they all drop down the rankings considerably. So when you're looking at the draft tracker, their value is going to look pretty small. In an auction draft, their price point is going to look pretty small. But how are you going to get your rebounds? How are you going to get your field goal percentage? So if you're turning those punts on and not looking any other direction, you are going to end up with a 3 or 4 category punt. If you punt blocks and turn that on and pay no other attention, you will end up punting field goal percentage and you will end up punting rebounds pretty much, and you won't be strong in those categories. That's just what will happen. And you might be okay with that, but it will be almost impossible for you to not do it that way. So you need to pay attention. If you start punting assists, you have to have it in your head, I need steals, I need threes, I need free throw percentage. And as counterintuitive as this sounds, the way that I like to look at it is, say I am punting a big man number, I want to get some big men early. Now, I can be punting blocks, and LaMarcus Aldridge gives me 1.2, 1.3 blocks per game, which isn't great, but it's still well above the average that I need, almost double the average that I need to be an average or competitive team in that category. But I then need to make sure I need rebounds. I need his 9-ish rebounds. I need his 55% from the field. And even though the value, and I will have a look at this so I can talk you through it as I'm doing it. If I look at LaMarcus Aldridge at the moment. He's ranked about 33rd at the moment. But if I go on punt blocks in that category, his value drops and he becomes the 45th best player. Now, his ranking on Yahoo, he's ranked 36. It's 32 on Fantrax. It's 19th on ESPN. So if I've got him as the 45th best player when punting blocks, I'm not going to be able to get him. And you'll see him on that draft tracker move right down. But, and this, I didn't mean this to be a specific LaMarcus Aldridge-focused podcast, but what I need to do is I need to look at those categories, even though his value has fallen, and you can look at that punt column where we have the punt plus, which is how much value they're losing or gaining, and he's a negative 0.14, which is a pretty significant change. Anything above a negative 0.10 in the punt plus column is a pretty significant difference. For example, Carl Anthony Towns, he punt blocks, he's a negative 0.29. That's pretty big. But I want to get Aldridge. And using my early picks on the guys who helped me in the punt adjacent categories, I think is really important because I'll be able to find guards who are maybe not drafted or maybe outside the top 100 who get big boosts from a punt block situation. I can get them late. If I'm in a small man number and I'm punting a free throw percentage, I still need to get my assists, but I need to get those assists early. I need to go second, third, fourth round to get them, because if I'm punting free throw percentage, Yusuf Nurkic, the table Montrezl Harrell, any of these late type of guys, Mitchell Robinson perhaps for the Knicks, I can grab them late and I can add them and I can help my big man number. So I like to look at it that way and get those punter Jason guys. Even if they're losing value, get them and pay their auction value. Get them in the second, third round. Build those categories up and then go sick on your punt builds later on. So in general, when I am drafting and using the draft tracker, I don't turn my punts on until 8-9 rounds in to try and really work out where. And I've got an idea what I'm doing because I can see it on draft tracker where the red is tracking, where the green is tracking. And work out which categories I want there and how I'm going to fill them up. But if you don't pay attention to those adjacent categories, you're going to be in real, real trouble. As I said before, you want to get better and not worse. So you want to make those greens on draft tracker go bright green. You want, you know, four standard score overall in that category. And people will often say to you I guess not defense, but in attack of a punting scenario, well, if one of your guys goes down, you're screwed because you can't find that replacement. I think that's bullshit. I don't agree with that at all. And say you're looking at your punting free throws and Dwight Howard goes down. Oh, if Howard goes down, you're screwed. Well, that's not true because, again, we're not looking at making free throw. If all of a sudden my free throw percentage comes better, it doesn't. Oh, I'm done now. My free throw percentage is better. That's it. It's over for me. I've still got to go out and find a replacement for his 10 boards and blocks. That's true. And I can use streaming options. Maybe I add an Eddie Davis for 8 blocks off the bench in 20 minutes in Brooklyn. Maybe I look for Robinson when he comes in. Maybe Wendell Carter Jr. is my guy there. But I can go and find those and stream those options in. But the idea of punting is that you insulate yourself in your strong categories. Your categories, instead of being a 1.5 standard score, you're a 3.5, you're a 4.5. Shit, I've got categories sometimes where I'm a 6.5 in a percentage, which is massive. So I've got that buffer. If one of those guys goes down, and who's a big contributor to my free throw percentage, it goes from a 6.5 to a 4.5. And I'm still really strong in that area. If one of those guys goes down, if I'm at a weekly games disadvantage, the benefit you get from punting is it insulates you even more to an injury. Like in a situation where you've got a balanced team and one of your guys goes down, it can be a lot harder to find someone who does contribute evenly across all categories because there's really nobody. There's only two blokes who are positive contributors in all categories, and I think it's Nikola Jokic and Kawhi Leonard. They are the only guys who are considered positive contributors in every category. And there are other guys, you know, Rudy Gay, Nick Batum later on, who are solid enough across the board. But it is hard to find that overall type of production. And yeah, there can be some flexibility issues. And people go, but what if a hot player comes off the waiver wire? It's Hassan Whiteside, it's Jeremy Lin. But because you're punting blocks, where Whiteside doesn't give you value, screw it, add him. Add him. Sit him on your bench, see what happens. Someone will come to you for a trade offer and you might be able to move on from him. You can use him sporadically to help your field goals or help your rebounds. Jeremy Lin, your punting assist. Oh, it's all right. Lin's sanity. Let's grab him. And let's just see what happens here. Let's see what happens over the next 4 or 5 days. And does, you know, his potential strengths, does it mean that I can just change things around and reduce my team or make trades? So I don't ever look at a free agent situation going, well, I'm not adding this guy because he doesn't fit my punt team, especially if he is, you know, really hot option. Now, if it's a two-game stretch of Big Sauce Alan Williams having double-doubles, I'll be like, probably don't need those big man numbers. I don't believe this is lasting. Don't worry about it. But if it's the Donovan Mitchell coming in and getting hot and grabbing, let's see. All right, let's see. And let's go from there. So I don't really worry. I really worry about that so much in terms of value there in punt type situations. I don't worry that I'm going to have limited flexibility, or if someone gets hurt, I'm screwed. I personally believe it's the opposite. If someone gets hurt, well, I'm actually insulated against this, and I can find those replacements. I can find a replacement for three categories better than I can find one for seven categories, and that's how I view it anyway. Other things we need to pay attention to with punting someone. What if someone else punts that same category? Oh, well, that's fine. Again, you're not trying to compete to be worse in that category. If someone else grabs Capella, man, I've got to grab Howard because I've got to make sure my free throw percentage is worse than them. That's not how it works. He's got, well, I've got to get at rebounds and I've got to get blocks. And people will be looking at these guys, and these are perfect options for your punt free throw team. But again, if you're a punt free throw percentage team and your team's free throw percentage comes out at 80%, doesn't mean that you screwed it up. It just means your free throw percentage is all right and actually might make your team better. You're just not paying attention to it. So I'm not worried about that sort of situation if someone else is punting the same as me. It just doesn't bother me. Now, you can probably get more value if people aren't doing it, but in general, it's not going to be too much of a big deal to me. The other thing that is important to know here is this third point I've got, and that's get value and don't draft at value. So you can go in and look at these projections. If I go in and punt free throw percentage, many guys take big leaps up. Ben Simmons becomes the fifth overall ranked player. You've got Andre Drummond at 13th. You've got Gobert at 16th. Capella at 20th. You've got DeAndre Jordan at 27th. And people can look at that and go, well, I've got pick five now. I'm punting free throws. I'm taking Simmons at five. That's not getting value out of that pick. What you do is you get Ben Simmons in the early portion of the second round and go, I got him in the second round, and he's the fifth best player based on my punt build. You don't look at pick 16 and go, well, Rudy Gobert is ranked 16th in this punt build. I'll grab him here. No, you grab him at 26 and go, look at this. I got Simmons in round two and Gobert in round three, and they're two top 16 players in my build. Plus, I grabbed Yanni in round one, so I've got three top 16 players, and we're 36 picks in. That's where you're getting value. So it's not about grabbing Andre Drummond at pick 13 because that's where his punt value puts him, because that's just eliminating all of that value. The idea of punting is to try and get value from these guys, not draft them at that overall value. So again, when you turn on that punt free throw percentage thing early in a draft, it can screw with your ideas of what you're doing in that situation and what you're doing in that draft as to when you're getting those players at the correct time. That is important to pay attention to, that you're not screwing yourself out of value by getting those guys at the wrong time. So you're really paying attention to what you're doing when making those decisions. Look, I can go, so say I punt free throw percentage and I punt threes. And I punt steals, which is a common three category punt there. Look, you have like Giannis become number two, Gobert become number five, Embiid six, Simmons seven. And you'll see that the top 10 players in this build, and I haven't even punted assists here because I'm leaving assists on, but they're nearly every one of them is a big man. The top 12 guys based on punting threes, steals, and free throw percentage: Davis, Giannis, Towns, LeBron, Gobert, Embiid, Simmons, Jokic, Drummond, Durant, Capella, and DeAndre Jordan, with Dwight Howard coming in 14th, Westbrook 13th. You've got Jim Harden down at 15th. You've got Kawhi down at 20th. You've got guys like Steven Adams coming in 21st, Jarrett Allen 25th, the table Montrezl Harrell 28th. Now, you're never drafting them at that point, even though you look at it and go, he's a 28th ranked player in my punt build. You don't want to do that. It will screw up your team, and you're not getting any value by taking a bloke with an ADP of 140 at pick 28 like Montrezl Harrell, who I think is going to have a real chance to start this season for the Clippers, and I love him this year as a late pick. But you're taking all the value away from it. The other thing that I think is important, or I think it's important to me, is don't go into a snake draft with your punt build set. Don't go in. People ask me, Josh, what's the best punt strategy for me to go into a draft with? Now, I believe in planning and I believe in punting during a draft. And people say, no, to pick your best seven players and then punt. I think that's bullshit. I don't agree with that at all. Because again, if you're just picking best player available for seven rounds, your team's going to be shit. I can almost guarantee you that'll be the case. I would rather make those decisions early and adjust if need be. but I'm not going into a scenario here. Let's say I'm punting assists. I'm not going into my scenario saying, well, you know what? I want to punt assist in this year's draft. Therefore, I have got, maybe that wasn't a, where's my example? Let's say I'm punting punting points as an example. And I've got pick three in a draft. Nikola Jokic comes in as the third ranked player. Do I want to take him at pick three? Probably not, because that's jumping him four or five spots. I got pick nine, and Ben Simmons comes in as the ninth best player in a punt points format. Is that the guy I want to take? Probably not. What I would do, and what I do is in this first round scenario, take the best player there. You're at one, you take Davis. You're at two, you take Harden. You're at three, you take Towns. And then you go, you know, Durant, Leonard, Curry, Jokic, Adetokounmpo. They're the next group of guys, I believe, that 4-8 mix. You take the best guy there. Westbrook, Lillard, James, Paul George, Embiid, like they round out your first round. You take those guys there, putting some value into categorical scarcity. Assists are scarce. Efficient shot blocking is scarce, which probably moves Jokic above guys. It probably moves Embiid into that end of the first round, even though I've got him as a 14th ranked player. Pushing him to 12 does make some sense to get some of that efficiency from a shot blocker. And then you look at your guy. So I've got Anthony Davis. He's excellent at blocks. The steals are great. Solid percentages. His assists and threes aren't great. So maybe I'm looking at punting assists or threes after drafting Anthony Davis. I've got Jim Harden. I probably look at punting field goal percentage. I take Karl Anthony Towns. Well, he doesn't have high steals numbers. Neither does Kevin Durant. So I could punt those categories with either of those two guys. Kawhi Leonard. A little bit tougher to decide, but he's not a super strong rebounder, although rebounds are quite a hard category to punt, but you can go and do that. His assists and blocks are okay, but they're not great. You can punt either one of those. Steph's not blocking shots. Grab Curry and punt blocks. Nikola Jokic, not, he hits threes. He does it okay. He blocks shots. He does it okay, but they're not great. You can punt one of those two categories with Jokic. He's a little bit weird in that regard. Giannis, he's not hitting threes. His free throws aren't great. He's a great punt free throw guy. Pair him with Simmons. Add Gobert later on. Get Capella or DeAndre Jordan in later rounds. And you've got those rebound and blocks set. Get your assists through round 3-4. That's why Simmons is a good pairing with him. But do that. With Westbrook, you're punting field goal percentage. Yes. Damian Lillard, you're punting field goal percentage. You're punting blocks as a potential. LeBron, there goes your free throw percentage. Make those decisions after your first round pick, and then that really is going to influence your second round selection. Because if you're picking from, say, and based on the way that these rankings pan out from pick 14 through to pick 19, we're talking about a 0.1 difference in overall value. And 0.1 is not a big deal. For example, the difference between Harden and Towns in my projections is 3 times that amount. So if you're picking at that start, middle of the second round, which guy is going to fit me better? Is it Oladipo? Is it Paul George? Is it Butler? Is it Simmons? Is it Wall? Is it Love? Is it Kyrie? Who fits my team better based on what I did in that first round? Because you can't sit here and tell me categorically that John Wall is better than Ben Simmons, who's better than Kyrie Irving, who's better than Kevin Love, who's better than Jim Butler. The closeness of those guys is, it's notable. And it is important to be able to, you know, realize that the differences or the closenesses in those projections to have those guys more complement what you're doing. Now, in a roto league, you probably want to go a different direction. In most cases, I talked about punting earlier, but in a lot of cases, you look, well, Jokic doesn't hit many threes, his blocks are low. So in the second round, if I could get Embiid with him to help my blocks up, that would be great. Really start to boost those numbers up there. Rather than a head-to-head league, well, let's look, who's the weakest category here? Let's lop one of those off and let's try and build on the other 8 or the other 7 categories when you're talking about, you know, these first-round guys. So I like to look at who are, now you can make that plan. What pick have you got? You got pick one, you're going to take Davis. Well, you can start your plan. You got pick two, it's Davis or Harden. If I take Harden, this is what I'm going to do. If I take Davis, this is what I'm going to do. Have an idea what you will do for every single player. And have some flexibility about what you're doing it in terms of punting. Now, I don't know exactly. Actually, I probably should have a look at this. I was going to say we're doing the head-to-head mock draft tomorrow. And I don't know what draft pick I've got. But the draft picks have been sorted. So I'm going to have a look. And I'll be working some sort of, what do you call it? punt strategy with this league. Let's go and have a look at what draft pick I've got. It's a 12-team head-to-head mock draft tomorrow. I have got pick 10 in this situation. So I got the feeling I'm going to be punting field goals because Russell Westbrook or Damian Lillard are probably going to be the guys that come to me there. Now, do I go for a double punt and punt field goals and blocks and turnovers to do that triple, although I don't count turnovers generally? Yeah, maybe that's the option I'm going to be looking at that spot and me picking at pick 10 there. So that's probably how I'll be approaching that draft tomorrow when we do it, is trying to punt those categories. But I need to make sure that my rebounds are solid. So I'll be getting a big man in rounds two or three, or maybe both of those rounds, or three and four or whatever. Because if I don't get the rebounds, then I do fall into a little bit of trouble in some of those other areas. Because if I go to get rebounds late, it's going to be someone like Steven Adams who is absolutely shitful at free throw percentage, and I might not be able to do it, and it just makes my rebounds average and my free throw percentage average, and it screws the whole idea of what I've been doing. So yeah, the two things that you should be getting out of this podcast: punting is not making a category worse, it's making your other categories better. And don't forget the punt adjacent categories. You have to pay attention to them, or you're going to lock yourself into a four category punt when you did, and you didn't want to do that. Now, four category punts can be successful. I've won with them before. They take some balls to do. You've got to pay attention, but they absolutely can work because they have worked in the past. But it is a tough thing, especially in leagues with limited position of eligibility or restrictive positions in the in your active start. If you've got a league where you've got just guards and forwards, or you've got, you know, point guard shooting guard combination spots, or you're playing in a league with quite liberal assignments of positions like on Yahoo, then that works a little bit more. But if you're in a really strict scenario where none of your small forwards will be power forward eligible, then you can be in trouble if you don't get any of those other categories. So finding those guys, like in a four punt category draft that I did on Basketball Monster in the one man mock, one of those teams punted all the big man stats. They punted turnovers, field goal percentage, blocks, and rebounds, I believe, in that one. But you still need to fill out two center spots. So I grabbed two guys as centers who are center eligible, Dario Saric and Markieff Morris, and they fill my center spots, and they help with those. They're not strong in those other categories, but they can help in other areas, and then they fit fine in that spot. So I know I've spouted a lot of bullshit in today's show. Hopefully it's been useful. Tomorrow we are going to be doing that mock draft, a head-to-head mock draft. We'll obviously be picking 10, as I just found out. So tune in for that one. Make sure you are following me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble, and check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network, college football, college basketball podcast, NFL, Major League Baseball playoffs starting off soon, I believe. And yeah, always looking to expand stuff in the network as well, at Locked On NBA Net. Go check out Vivid Seats and get $20 off any purchase of $200 or more as a first-time customer, and use the promo code LOCKEDON for that. And of course, Basketball Monster is open and ready to take your memberships for this season. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Reggie Bullock.